Welcome to all on this Reformation Sunday. This was made a number of years ago, I think for the 500th anniversary. And so we are using it today. There's lots of memes going around Facebook this week about Reformation Sunday falling on Halloween. And instead of 95 theses, it is 95 Reese's peanut butter cups. So. I ask that you continue to keep Norma and Rita in your prayers. Norma remains at Seaport, and Rita is still in hospital, but she expects to be home next week. I'd also ask that you keep Ted Forler in your prayers, and Betty as well, as Ted's cancer has returned. Wonderful news was received from Synod about a little bit more than a week ago. We can resume singing in church. As long as you all keep your masks tightly around your nose, we can sing. So this morning, we will sing. You may have also heard that churches can go back to full capacity worship, but that requires mandatory vaccination passport checking. We will discuss that at council on Tuesday night. The council will also be discussing the resumption of comforter nodding on Thursday mornings at our meeting on Tuesday night. We got a couple new things happening at Zion. Number one, you will see that we have an iPad at the front of the church here. We are unofficially going live this morning to Facebook. So everybody, you guys can't wait because they won't see you, but I can wave and say hello out there all to everyone in Facebook land. We had sent to Synod a mission grant. And it was called LinkedIn Building Community. And we asked for a grant so that we could purchase an iPad. And we got news this week that we did receive a grant. So we went out and we purchased an iPad so that we can continue to reach out to the wider community and to the folks of Zion who are not yet feeling comfortable coming back to worship. So this week is sort of a test period. Olivia Dale and I came in on Friday and we did a little bit of a test. So today is a bigger test. Olivia said she was watching today too, so I'll say hi to Olivia. It'll take a little bit of getting used to. And if anybody has any questions or concerns, please feel free to speak to me. Please feel free to speak. Another new thing that is happening at Zion, some of you have attended our Sunday morning coffee hours back when we were in lockdown. And this form of fellowship has been missed by members of the congregation. At our last worship committee meeting, we discussed having a brief time of fellowship and community two evenings a month. This will happen on the first and third Wednesdays of the month from 7:30 until 8:15 p.m. The evening will include a time of sharing, a healthy tip or a recipe to be enjoyed with others, and it will end with meditation and a prayer. Each session will be led by different members of our church community. I will lead the first one, which is happening on November 3rd, so that's this Wednesday at 7:30. There was in your messenger, there was a GoToMeeting link that will be sent out again early this week just to remind folks. The more the merrier, everybody's welcome. And if you haven't joined us yet, please feel free to join us. Men and women are invited. Are there any other announcements? Seeing none, I ask you to rise and we will begin with our confession and forgiveness, which is found in your book. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, life, whose presence is sure, and whose love is endless. Amen. I invite you to join me. God, our Comforter, you are the one who is always on the move,
always creating and recreating. And yet we confess, O Lord, that our lives can become static, routinely paralyzed by doubt and fear. We remain fixed in patterns of greed, covetousness, and self-interest. We doubt your promises of abundant, everlasting life. So we live in dread of our neighbors, our friends, and our enemies. Our souls remain still. We do not love as you love, nor do we live as you would have us live, with courage, generosity, and boldness of the gospel. In the silence of our hearts, we offer up to you those things we have done and all we have left undone.
Forgive us, O God.
Renew us by your Spirit, and reform us with your compassion, remaking us more fully into the image of Christ, and as humble servants of your reign. Amen.
Friends, the good news of the gospel is that God's love in Christ stretches so deep and so wide that it infiltrates every broken place in our hearts and in our world. Our hatred is met with love, our cruelty is met with compassion. Our sins and our trespasses are met with forgiveness. It is greater than anything you have ever done or could do. Open your hearts to let the love of God in, because in Christ you are forgiven, you are freed, and you are made new. Believe in this great and good news. Amen. Our opening hymn is, of course, Luther's most well-known hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, hymn number 504. Let us sing.
Thank you.
communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, gracious Lord, we thank you that your Holy Spirit renews the Church in every age. Pour out your Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep them steadfast in your word. Protect and comfort them in times of trial. Defend them against all enemies of the gospel. And bestow on your Church your saving grace. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated as we hear words of Scripture.
Our first reading today is taken from Jeremiah, chapter 31, verses 31 to 34. A reading from Jeremiah. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke. Well, I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another, or say to each other, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm today is Psalm 46. God is a refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear though the earth be moved, and though the mountains shake in the depths of the sea. Though its waters rage and foam, and though the mountains tremble with its tumult, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city, it shall not be taken. God shall help it at the break of day. The nations rage and the kingdoms shake. God speaks and the earth melts away. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our stronghold. Come now, regard the works of the Lord, what desolations God has brought upon the earth. Behold the one who make war to cease in all the world, who break the bow and shatter the spear, and burn the shield with fire. Be still then and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Our second reading is taken from Romans chapter 3, verses 19 to 28. A reading from Romans. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For no human being will be justified in his sight by deeds prescribed by the law. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. But now, apart from law, the righteousness of God has been disclosed and is attested by the law and the prophets. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction. Since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, they are now justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a sacrifice of atonement by his blood, effective through faith. He did this to show his righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he has passed over the sins previously committed. It was to prove at the present time that he himself is righteous, and he justifies the one who has faith in Jesus. And what becomes of boasting? It is excluded. By what law? By what works? No, but by the law of faith. where we hold that a person is justified by faith apart from works prescribed by the law. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for our reading of the Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to the religious authorities who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The Son has a place there forever. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
Please be seated. Today we are celebrating the 504th anniversary of the Reformation. Time really does fly because it seems like just yesterday that we were celebrating the 500th anniversary with the NVMA. I remember I was put in stocks at that supper that we had a couple of years back. I spent some time thinking this week, reflecting on the life of Martin Luther. I wondered what he would think of all that has happened since he posted the 95 Theses on the doors of the Castle Church at Wittenberg so many years ago. So I thought this morning I would take a little bit of time to seek a deeper understanding of just who Luther was and how his experiences are still relevant to us some 504 years later. Martin Luther was born on November the 11th, 1483, to Hans and Marguerite Luther. And he was baptized the next day in the Catholic Church. Hans was a common working class man who worked in the copper mines, and he wanted his son to have more opportunities to succeed in life than he did. So he worked hard to make sure that Luther received an academic education. And so Martin was the first one in his family to be able to go to school. When he was 14, he was sent to the semi-monastic school of the Brothers of the Common. And then he went on to university, where he enjoyed debating and was given the nickname the Philosopher. In 1505, he graduated with a master's degree and was interested in furthering his career by becoming a lawyer, something that his father also enjoyed. And we don't hear very much about Luther's faith during his formative years, but that was soon to change. On July the 12th, 1505, Luther was returning home from a short vacation when a bolt of lightning struck the ground beside him. The strike was so powerful that it threw him several feet from where he was walking. And in a moment of panic, or maybe a moment of clarity, he called out saying, "Saint Anna, help me, I want to become a monk." 2 weeks later, his affairs were in order and he found himself standing at the gate of the Black Monastery of the Augustinian Friars. It turns out that Martin had been struggling deeply with his faith and the dogma and practices of the Catholic Church. He was greatly disturbed by the tenacio tristitae, or the dread concerning his sins. As time went on, his struggles and his inner conflict continued. He experienced many dark nights of the soul where his faith was in doubt. Luther lived a virtuous life, but he still felt himself a sinner before a righteous God of wrath. He was angry with God, and he felt that he was being punished by God for his sin. The church offered little relief for him as he was repulsed by their ethics and the need to provide indulgences to get out of purgatory and to get into heaven. Parishioners of wealth had no problem paying the indulgences, of course, but those of little wealth, well, they struggled. And it tormented Luther to know that the church was doing this. This was not the gospel. This was not Jesus Christ at work in the world. This was not the power of the Holy Spirit working in, through, and around the people. This was power and greed. So in those days, Luther spent much of his time studying scripture in his small room. He was trying to find a reprieve for his soul, trying to mend his broken spirit. And finally, one day, the words of Paul in Romans chapter 1, verse 17 spoke to him. It states, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed through faith for faith. As it is written, the one who is righteous will live by faith." In reading that verse, Luther was reborn. The compassion of God and the power of the Holy Spirit entered into his heart. The righteousness of God, which had tormented him before, now brought him a renewed sense of peace and love. He was freed from the chains of guilt and sin that had binded him. And it was this newfound faith that finally gave Luther the courage to write his 95 Theses. And he wrote these theses not in the hopes of starting a new church, not in the hopes of starting Protestantism or even the Lutheran Church. He wrote the theses in order to bring light to the corruption of the church in the hopes of reforming it and renewing it, in the hopes of enlivening the faith of churchgoers and the leadership, in the hopes of rebuilding a relationship with God through the witness of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. In the words of Scripture, he had finally found freedom. He found the refuge and strength that only a loving God can provide. He found peace in the knowledge of Romans chapter 3, verses 22 to 24 that we read this morning, which states, "For there is no distinction. Since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, they are now justified by grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." The gift of grace was more important than the collection of any kind of indulgences. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, Luther finally understood that there is no amount of good works that could be done or indulgences that were paid that would get you into heaven. Our debts were and are paid for by the cross. We know the promise and hope of eternal life. No longer are we enslaved to sin. Yes, here is that perfectly imperfect reminder that I talk about every week. And it is this that calls us to be true disciples of Jesus. It is this that calls us to be a neighbor to those around us. And it is this that calls us to love one another, just as we have been loved. This is the gift that was given to us in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. This is the freedom that Jesus spoke of in John this morning. This is the truth that sets us free. Luther took many risks in penning the 95 Theses and placing them on the doors of the castle church for all to see. In taking that risk, he trusted in his faith. He trusted in the goodness and grace of God. He trusted in the freedom that only God can provide. Can we, as the church, do the same? What are we willing to risk to truly live into that same freedom, knowing that we are beloved children of God, who are called to be disciples of Jesus Christ? Can we live into the power of the Holy Spirit working in, through, and around us in our everyday lives? How can we share the wonderful gift of grace with everyone around us? Are you up for the task? Let it be so. Amen. Our hymn of the day today is O Praise the Gracious Power, and it is hymn number 651.
Thank you.
Set free from sin and death, and nourished by the word of truth, we join in prayer for all of God's creation. We pray for all who long for a word of truth and for the radical grace that flows from the cross. Inspire congregations to proclaim your love freely and boldly for all people, with persistence and hope. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We pray for your creation, for mountains, rivers, streams, cities, homesteads, and neighborhoods. Write in our hearts a new love and care for creation. Give us the will to curb wasteful habits and to hold accountable those who neglect the vulnerable. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We pray for all who aspire to public office, for wisdom and understanding upon all who govern so that communities of justice and peace may thrive. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We pray for all who long for healing in mind, body, or spirit, especially Eddie, Elaine, Sarah, Bonnie, Tilly, Katie, Nicole, Esther, Phyllis, John and Ruth, Norma, Rita, Ted, Bruce and Ruth, the lives and memory of over 7,000 buried children at residential school cities across Canada, and those we name out loud or in the silence of our hearts. Strengthen hospitals, clinics, counseling centers, long-term care homes, and recovery centers, the holy spaces of renewal, that all might live the abundant life you intend. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We pray for all those who seek in faith and love of you, guide teaching and learning in confirmation, small groups, Sunday school, youth groups, schools, seminaries, and universities. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We give thanks for all the saints and reformers who have gone before us, who dwell in your holy habitation. Give us courage through their example to challenge unjust systems and work towards life-giving reformation. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Confident that you hear us, O God, we boldly place our prayers in your hands through Jesus Christ, our truth and life.
Amen.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
I invite you to share a sign of peace with those around you, and peace to you at home as well. Peace, everyone. Someday soon we'll get to hug. I really miss hugging. I say that every week. Maybe I say that because we just want it to happen. Let us continue on with our offering prayer. Let us pray. Giver of life, prosper the work of our hands and faith. Prosper the work of our gifts offered in gratitude. Prosper the joy of our life in following Jesus Christ, the Word, the truth, and the life. Amen. Holy God, our sovereign, our wisdom, our judge. As nature in the north cycles towards dormancy and death, we thank you for the sustenance of your word. For your word of life, we give you thanks. We praise you for speaking through Christ your word, in whom is your authority, your truth, and the justice of your ways. When we are threatened by dangers and surrounded by evil, you speak to us of life that comes through Christ's death. For your word of promise, we praise you. Grant us the endurance of the Spirit of your Son. Upheld by the voice of your word, may we persevere with courage, energy, and joy, serving our neighbors faithfully until the end of our days. For your word of power, we plead. Abide with us in your word, O God, that we may speak your blessings to others today and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
People of God, you are Christ's body, bringing new life to a suffering world. The Holy Trinity, one God, bless you now and forever. Amen. Our sending hymn is hymn number 517, Lord, keep us steadfast in your word.